Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 107. It's a Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to the show, Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay topics, geek stories, and bizarre news. How are you, Ray? What have you been
I'm
up
good.
To?
I'm good. I'm good. How have you been? You went on a vacation.
I was in a mini vacation. It was a short vacation to Cancun. I was there for about 4 days, and it was supposed to be a wedding, but it became a vacation because the wedding did not go through. But it was fun. It was fun with a couple of friends. It was hanging out with straight people, but it was fun. It was different. Yeah, but I'm not used to it, but it's good. It was all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm just glad you made it back and somebody didn't chop you up and put you in a trash bag in Cancun.
That's right. I am pretty happy I was not chopped up. And then when I came back from Houston, I went to Casey and Chris's pool party. That was really fun, too, because it's Manny's birthday. Manny, happy birthday, if you can hear this. And also, a shout-out to Alan from the Woodlands. So I just wanted to... I chatted with him there and everything, so it was good. So how about you? What have you been up to, Ray?
I had a relaxing weekend at home, ran errands. I've been binge-watching The Fosters when Timo's at work. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, Julio and I went to go see, or was it Monday? Monday, Julio and I went to go watch Kin at the movies.
So what's so special about Kin?
Well, it's kind of sci-fi deal, but it was kind of weird. It's like they did this whole movie just to set up a whole franchise.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So.
Okay. Is it recommendable to watch in the theaters or just wait for it in DVD or a Blu-ray?
It was okay. I wouldn't go like at night and see it when you have to pay double. I mean, I'd go like a matinee or something, but it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's a shoot 'em up kind of space alien thing. My brother's got out of jail and some bad guys are after him, and I find an alien gun and I blow everything up.
Oh, so. I remember now. Yeah, that's right. He's got an alien gun running around with an alien gun. Oh, pretty fun. I remember an old, very old sci-fi film where a guy also got a gun, but eventually he became crazy. He got possessed by the gun. It was a laser thing. You can shoot lasers and destroy trucks and everything. And it kind of possessed him. That's what I remember that alien gun was. His face was changing and everything. I don't know if this was similar to that or it was... like a remake of that, I'm not sure, but maybe I'll watch it one of these days.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was cool. Mm-hmm. It had a couple names in it that was pretty decent. So,
mm-hmm. All right. So, shall we go to the stories, Ray?
Okay. All right. On with the gay.
Okay.
Women caned in Malaysia for attempting to have lesbian sex.
Wow.
Two women found guilty of attempting to have sex have been caned in Malaysia's conservative northeastern state of
Terengganu.
In the first punishment of its kind. The two women, aged 22 and 32, it was a cougar.
Cougar.
were caned 6 times each in the Telugu Shinar High Court just after 10 a.m. after the sentence was read out loud. The caning was carried out in the courtroom and was witnessed by up to 100 people, including the public. While the women in Malaysia have been caned for sexual offenses in the past, such as adultery, rights activists say this is the first time two women have been caned for attempting to have sex.
Yeah, usually two guys, right? But this is two women.
The punishment was shocking and it was a spectacle. An activist from the Malaysian rights group Justice for Sisters, who was in court on Monday, told The Guardian, for all intents and purposes, it was a public caning.
Yep.
This case shows a regression for human rights, she said, not only for LGBT people, but all persons, because corporal punishment affects all people. The Justice for Sisters activist said the group was concerned that the case would set a dangerous precedent for increasing the policing of morality and sexual identities in Malaysia. Shahara law enforcement officers in the province identified the two women attempted to engage in sex acts in a car in April. The two women were fined by the Shahara High Court.
Sharia. It's Sharia law.
Sharia High Court on 12th of August after they pleaded guilty to committed, how do you say that?
Musahaka,
or sexual relations between women.
Ooh.
The judge's order, they be caned 6 times and fined 3,300 Malaysian ringgits. Under Malaysian law, each state is empowered to enact laws based on Sharia guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Rights groups had previously urged Malaysian government to drop the case, which they argued constituted torture under the international human rights law. The verdict said Grammy, director of the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Program in Human Rights Watch, was the latest blow to Malaysia's LGBT community, which we had hoped for better protection under the new government. This prosecution and punishment, he said in an August 21st statement, will only fuel the recent wave of homophobia and transphobia here in Malaysia.
Yeah, okay. So the punishment is being caned 6 times and being fined 3,300 Malaysian ringgit. So that's about 619 pounds. Not too high. I mean, that's pretty low.
Yeah, but you get caned. Fined.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's right. So. But yeah, it is public caning. It's public shaming. But you know, okay, let's just be honest here. If straight people, don't straight people like watching women getting it on or something?
This has nothing to do with straight people. This is all religious law.
It's a religious law. Yeah, it is a Sharia law. But
it's enforcing morals, and religious person is enforcing morals based on what they find is religiously correct.
Mm-hmm. But you know,
it's starting to happen here in the U.S.
See, I can't even think about it. Let's look at the Old Testament, for example, or I know this is Sharia.
I don't look at the New Testament because I consider myself a Christian, and the New Testament replaced that.
But then you know, so people who do not believe in some denominations, they just stick with the Old Testament, I guess. But what I'm saying is
all kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, but what it's just hypothetical, right? Let's just say it is you know, they're thinking about the Old Testament for example. That I'm not saying this is Christian, but I think since it's Sharia law, it's still they use the Quran and everything. What as far as I know. So what I'm saying is, let's just example in Leviticus, it's all about a guy sleeping with another guy and sleeping with men, right?
It's all about laws of being unclean.
Yes. But
un-Hebrew.
But yeah, let me give my point. My point is there is nothing about women. There's nothing about they only talk about women.
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing in the Bible about women being property.
Hold on. Yeah, there's about women that they are unclean if they have menstruation or they sleep with somebody. But I don't even remember, maybe listeners would know or remind me of any, about a woman sleeping with another woman. Is there a line in Leviticus about that? I don't even know. So I'm just saying.
If she's married, it's considered adultery regardless. And adultery is forbidden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, it's just weird that, it is bad that this is happening what's bizarre. I find this bizarre also, if we consider that this is the first time ever that women being caned for doing sexual acts. And it's usually, and many times, Ray, many times, we have read this on many articles, that it's always the gay guys who are getting caned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that happened, what, 6-8 months ago with a couple of guys in Malaysia?
Oh, yeah.
And they got more canes because they were men. I think they got 10 each or 20. I can't remember.
It's really sad.
So, yeah.
All right, let's go to the next story, Ray. I'll take this one because it's about Apple. Well, it's about gay pride not being allowed in Russia. So the title is Apple Blocks Its Gay Pride Watch Face in Russia, which I think they want to protect people from downloading it. Because, you know, Russia doesn't like gay people. So, Apple first introduced its Pride Apple Watch Face during the company's Worldwide Developers Conference. That's WWDC. Yeah, everybody was happy about it. I remember that. And I have friends who... You have this rainbow flag. Rainbow.
Yeah, I did for Pride Month.
Pride Month, yeah. So, that was in June. So, inspired by the rainbow flag, it's designed to celebrate gay pride and stand against discrimination to LGBTQ people. While people regularly touts its unwavering commitment to equality and diversity, in highly produced gay pride videos, the company has its limits. Yeah, I could understand that. iOS developer Guilherme Rambo, his name is Rambo, cool, has discovered that the Pride Apple Watch face is hard-coded to not show up if the paired iPhone is using the Russian locale. Yeah, if you're, you see, if it detects that you're in Russia, the watch does not show, I guess, the rainbow flag. So Reddit users and Apple support forums users have been questioning the lack of a Pride watch face in Russia over the past couple of months. The Verge has tested this on an iPhone running the latest iOS 12 beta, and the Pride watch face simply disappears once you switch to the Russian locale. Russia implemented the gay propaganda law in 2013, which the European Court of Human Rights ruled reinforces prejudice and encourages homophobia. The law comes with the threat of jail time and fines for what Russia deems to be offensive speech. Apple appears to be avoiding this particular legal quandary. Apple sells a special Pride Edition Apple Watch strap, donating a portion of the proceeds towards LGBTQ advocacy organizations, but it doesn't sell it to Russia, anywhere in Russia either. So Google's targeted Russia's anti-gay laws with the Rainbow Olympics homepage during the Winter Olympics Games in Russia in 2014. The Google homepage, including the Russian version, was changed to show a rainbow-inspired Google Doodle and the Olympic Charter, which calls for the Olympic spirit of no discrimination of any kind against every individual practicing the sport. So, would you say, Ray, that this is Apple protecting people who use Apple Watches?
Well, I think they're trying not to get in a legal battle with Russia because they want to make sales. But, yeah, you can look at it as like, oh, we don't want somebody to download it and they get busted and get killed because they had this Pride flag on their watch and somebody saw it. So
in a way, they are.
In a way, it's kind of that, but it's also kind of like they don't want to get in legal trouble with Russia for distributing gay propaganda, which is against the law.
Yeah. So it's kind of justify this. To me, it's always the person's choice. You know what? Yeah. It's really the person's choice. What if the phone does that? You know, it disappears. The rainbow flag from the face of the watch disappears because it's a rainbow. But the guy still, you know, wears a rainbow shirt. I mean, you can't stop that either.
Well, you can't stop that either. But yeah, they're doing it for legal precedent, so they don't have issues selling stuff in Russia.
Yeah. So I guess it's partly protecting the person and partly protecting Apple.
I think it's more about protecting Apple than the person. It's all about marketing.
So they would rather piss off the dissenting Russian visitor.
Yeah, then getting in legal battle with Russian courts and then get banned from selling product in Russia.
Yeah, I guess they have to look at where the money goes. They have to follow the
money.
That's
right. I understand. But, you know, people might as well get used to it, because if they keep the Russian in the presidency here, he's going to start passing the same laws. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's go to the geek, Ray. Oh, this is important. Can I take this, please, Ray? Please, please,
sure.
Please. Okay, geek here is about two-factor authentication. This is like your regular two-factor authentication on steroids. So Google's in-house security key is now available to anyone who wants one. I think I want one of these eventually. So Google's Titan security key is finally available to anyone who wants one. The two-factor token went live today in the Google store with a full kit available for $50, shipping immediately. The kits include a USB key, a Bluetooth key, and various connectors. The key has been available to Google Cloud customers since July, when the project was first publicly announced. Built to the FIDO standard, the Titan keys work as a second factor for a number of services, including Facebook, Dropbox, and GitHub. But not surprisingly, they're built particularly for Google account logins, particularly the Advanced Protection Program announced in October. Because the keys verify themselves with a complex handshake rather than a static code, they're far more resistant to phishing attacks than a conventional confirmation code. And we'll talk about that in a minute, Ray. So the key was initially designed for internal Google use and has been in active use within the company for more than 8 months. Yeah, they're using the employees as testbed. So according to Google, the production process also makes the keys more resistant to supply chain attacks. This firmware is sealed permanently into a secure element hardware chip at production time in the chip production factory, cloud product manager Christian Brand said in a post today. The secure element hardware chip that we use is designed to resist physical attacks aimed at extracting firmware and secret key material. So you can enable security keys in your Google account from the two-step verification or sign up for the advanced protection program on their website. So this is an article coming from The Verge. And Ray, let's talk about two-factor authentication. You have a phone. Yep. You have a Google account.
Yep.
How do you protect yourself from, as a form of security for your phone? You log in, just username and password. It's good enough for you.
On my phone, I have it password protected.
Oh yeah, yeah. You use Of course, on your phone, you use You use a PIN and everything. How about online on your browser when you try to log into your Google account? Are you just using username and password, and that's good enough for you?
Yeah, for now. I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's something I should recommend. If you're gonna do that, might as well turn on two-factor authentication, wherein you'll be able to secure your account, because especially if you get your bills paid there or some of your authentication is done using Google accounts, it's best to have a two-factor authentication. There are a couple of ways to do it. One is, of course, your phone. Have you ever tried logging in and it says that, oh, let me verify that it's you. Let me send you a text message. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, that happens a lot with Facebook, because they thought somebody was hacking my account, so they locked my account the other day and I had to change password and everything.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, that's two-factor authentication. There is also another one for Google accounts and many other sites that are using. They use the Google Authenticator. So you download an app and you authenticate it and everything, and then gives you a secure key or a unique key that you use for as a replacement to text messaging, because text messaging you the password, it's really not secure. Somebody else can do it. What if they give the phone number, their own phone number? They could log in as you. So people could spoof your phone.
Yeah.
And this one is actually having the USB key, which is actually more secure, a lot more secure, because it performs a handshake to your computer or your device, and it's unique to your, you know, to your account and everything, and it's very secure. There are two things that's important for authentication. One is what you have and what you know. In this case, what you have is this USB key, because only you have it. And what you know is your password. So one of those things authenticates you. So that's very important. So Ray, I suggest you use, the minimum you can do really is using a two-factor authentication, using your phone or being text message, you know, for authentication. So that's one. Yep. And I highly recommend you can also use a Google Authenticator. That's also good. Anyway, so this article is really interesting because I like security. I like to make sure that my accounts are secure. And this is something that might be something useful for you. Yeah, to the audience. Maybe you would like it. All right, let's go to the next story, which is the bizarre. Ray, what's the bizarre for today?
Okay. Analyzing Lego porn, the fetish that will run your childhood.
It will ruin your childhood.
Okay. It will ruin it. Ruin it. Just ruin it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
If something exists, there's porn of it. Welcome to Rule 34, a weekly column in which motherboard Samantha Cole lovingly explores the highly specific fetishes that can be found on the web. If you've thought of it, someone's jerked off to it.
Like Star Trek porn.
And if y'all look at the article online, the links and videos in this article are not safe for work. So just make sure you do it at home. Kids smushing dolls and action figures together in a vaguely erotic ways can be part of developing and maturing into a sexual human being. Some of those kids grew up to keep grinding their Lego minifigures together. In adulthood, they are stop-motion cinematographers and artists. This is Lego porn.
God.
Agamatophilia.
Great! You got it, Ray!
Is the sexual attraction to a statue, doll, or other figurative object. Sex dolls and statues would fall under this too, but I think sexualizing Lego figures is kind of a mix of those two. The longer you look for Lego porn, the more you see, and the more you see, the more you have to wonder what the odds that someone near and dear to you is consuming Lego-themed fetishism as their kink. There's a subreddit dictated to Lego porn with 725 subscribers and only 15 posts over 5 years, but it's quality over quantity, which makes me think a lot more people are consuming than making Lego porn. There's a big Lego porn album, a glorious repository of some of the greatest Lego porn, from New Yorker style cartoons of Lego sex workers to tentacle Lego crossovers. Several of the images are watermarked with DrewCorrupt.net, which now redirects to a Japanese language blog about someone's toddler, and definitely not hardcore brick fucking. The album has more than 34,000 views.
Wow.
Lego porn features a few cross posts.
Wait. You have to say that part. r/.
r/ Lego porn.
Because it's Reddit. It's a Reddit.
Okay. Reddit Lego porn features a few cross posts from r/ BDSM with bricks, which are actually quite artful. Another crossover fandom, Harry Potter.
Oh, God.
Maybe their arousal comes from the actual toys. We can't really know unless we ask. A lot of Lego porn consists of fan art based on a character from the 2014 Lego movie named Wild Style. And it doesn't take long to unpack why people get off to Wild Style. Specifically, she's voiced by Elizabeth Banks, is a sassy as hell, and plays the forbidden love interest of the movie's protagonist. She's also wearing a leather bodysuit with a full-length front zipper. Come on, she looks like she'd bite your dick off and you'd like it. Then there's the stop-motion films. YouTuber Kimberly Reagan's Lego porn, uploaded in 2007, is a 70s-style play on the delivery guy. This video has racked up over 1 million views. Sometimes it's difficult to tell the difference between jokes and parodies of real porn using Legos and the actual Lego fetish. But this one's probably the former. These are all well and good, but the height of the form has to be a French anal Lego slut 7, a 2008 foreign art film uploaded to Pornhub. The unnamed director added claymation boobs and a penis to the minifigure actors for extra realism. It's an artful effort. The Eiffel Tower and the view from the window is a nice touch, too. And I will mention, I'd remiss to be leave out Alex Elar's body of work. Elar posted Lego minifigures to reenact porn video comments with terrible, hilarious results. Not quite Lego porn, but definitely with the Lego porn universe.
Who gets off to this?
I asked a senior sex therapist, co-founder of the Wiser Sex Therapy in New York City, to help me analyze Lego porn as a fetish. Flavors of sexuality are usually vast and expanse, she told me in an email. Some might be positioning the Lego bricks in those positions simply because it's fun and exciting. Others might do it because it does arouse them.
Really?
It might not necessarily be about the Lego bricks. It could be more about someone exploring humiliation and degradation. Manipulating human-like figures into sexual or degrading situations might be appealing to enthusiasts as a way to act out on what they can't or won't do in real life. There are, of course, ways to explore that reality while being safe, sane, and consensual, she said. However, not everyone's ready to take the plunge from playing the toys to actualizing it in reality with a human. And perhaps some of the people playing with Lego don't really want that. Maybe their arousal comes from the actual toys. We can't really know unless we ask. Even then, it might be unconscious. So virtual block-based Lego-like worlds like Minecraft and Roblox have made it easier than ever to simulate fetishes and sex acts using buildable worlds. It's making woohoo in The Sims, but more square. I emailed the Lego group seeking its comment on this fan base. Why did the toy maker think this product is so appealing to these enthusiasts? Lego replied, "Thank you for reaching out to us," a spokesman for Lego replied. "We have nothing to contribute to this in this context, as it's not related to us or our focus as a company in any way." That's a bit more buttoned up than what Lego spokeswoman Emma Owa told the Daily Star in 2016. "Every day we see fans building and creating all sorts of projects with Lego products, and sometimes they create something that we ourselves would never do. After all, we are a toy brand for children, but that's what Lego Play is all about, that everyone can build anything they can imagine."
Okay, so I've always thought that agamatophilia, this is the first time I heard of it. I've always thought it's you know, the sexual attraction to statues and dolls or objects, actually. It's objectophilia, but apparently it's not. It's agamatophilia. So yeah. I had to remember this word. So it's interesting that they can, yeah, you, as the article said in the very beginning, that if it's been conceptualized or somebody thought of it, then there's got to be porn for it. And of course, Lego porn. I don't even know how to get, how can you even get aroused by this? I mean, how do you? They're all squares, and
I don't know, Maynard. Why don't you watch some and give us a report next week?
Maybe I can do that. I can do research. I'll do this research. By research. I'm going to do some research. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, like as I was saying earlier, yeah, you know, people into Lego is just, you know, I guess there's always something for everyone. There's porn. And I will do my research very soon. Right. So anyway, so I want to stress
maybe
something about...
Maybe we should ask Julio if he has a folder.
That's right. Oh, my God. That blows my mind. He can probably find one for us. Okay, so, yeah, it's all... maybe we can research it in X-Tube or X-Hamster or somewhere. Pornhub or whatever. Anyway, so...
There's links in the article on the web on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we can do that. Anyway, so speaking of these are some of these are in like Reddit. Do you ever read anything from Reddit, Ray?
Every now and then, not much.
Yeah. So yeah, Reddit is. There used to be Digg. I don't know if you remember the Digg days, DIGG. It was very big back then, but then they fell off, and then they stuck with Reddit right now. People, it's become more of a big trolling world. It's almost as big. It's really big. One of the biggest article generating and aggregator, news aggregator in the world right now, Reddit is. Yeah. So yeah, I like reading that. But you can always find a topic like this. What is it? /r/ Lego porn. People are actually thinking about this. Anyway, let's do some research and make a report next week. What do you say, Ray?
Okay, you do the research.
All right, okay. All right, let's go to the next story. So, Florida couple built a drive... Always in Florida. They built a drive-through window at mobile home to sell drugs, according to the cops. So, this is from Fox News. Okay, so a Florida couple was arrested last week after they were caught allegedly selling drugs out of a drive-through window they constructed out of the side of their mobile home. William Parrish Jr. and Mackenzie Dobbs of Ocala, Florida, were arrested on August 23rd after investigators raided their home following reports of 4 drug overdoses in the area. WFTV, is that what the fuck TV?
Yeah.
WFTV reported. So Ocala police said the couple had turned the kitchen window into a drive-thru so customers would not have to constantly enter and exit their home. Bright idea, though. For the wrong reasons, so potentially drawing an unwanted attention, WFTV reported. So the house had signs directing people where to drive and indicated whether it was open or closed, police said. We were seeing some overdose incidents that were happening in this particular area, specifically at this particular location, said Ocala Police Captain Stephen Cuppy. So there were some heroin sales that were going on there. Subsequently, through the investigation, we were able to determine the product was laced with fentanyl. Oh, they even laced it. So Parrish, who's 32, was charged with driving under the influence, keeping a dwelling used to sell drugs, possession of drugs with intent to sell, and resisting arrest without violence, according to Marion County Sheriff's Office inmate records. So Dobbs, who's 20, has been charged with keeping a dwelling used to sell drugs. Possession of drugs with intent to sell, possession of fentanyl, and possession of fentanyl with intent to sell, court records show. So William Parrish Sr. told WFTV that his son had been trying to get himself straightened out and maintain reports of overdoses were a lie. Wow, fake news, he says. So Ocala is located inland, about 66 miles west of Daytona Beach. So I've been to Daytona Beach. It's pretty far, 66 miles, but interesting. But what can you do if you're living in a mobile home and you want to be efficient? You make a drive-through for your drugs, right?
No, they should have just opened a taco stand, and they could have sold it while they sold tacos. You get a taco with a side.
Yeah, or just simply stick with tacos and not sell drugs. How about that?
Well, tacos and drugs are kind of about the same thing some days.
Oh, yeah. Well, one... blows your mind and the other one blows your ass, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess that's it for our stories for this week, right?
Yep.
And happy Labor Day weekend for all y'all. And yeah, I missed Sudden Decadence. We could have been, we could have attended Sudden Decadence and have stories.
Your husband didn't miss because he sent me plenty of pictures.
Oh yeah, he did. Lots of pictures. Lots of NSFW pictures. So yeah, it's something that we missed, and maybe next year we'll go. We'll see. It's just that I had to go to a wedding. Well, not really a wedding.
The unwedding.
Yeah, it's a non-wedding. All right, so special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
I've been saying this for a couple of years now, Ray. Yeah. And also go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.